This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's a rainy Thursday here in our Amherst studios. Zach Jones, Josh Smith, or Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here.
It's habit. I understand. He's also here.
He is. It doesn't help. He is right here.
You are staring right at him when you start.
Yeah. Usually. Yeah.
Almost always. Let's stare at him together. Make it real uncomfortable for him.
Why?
Why?
Because I said it. Yeah.
I'm supposed to be removed over here. Not the focal point.
You are the star right now.
Main character energy.
Well, thank you. I guess I'll just take it away. And we got Sal Capaccio with us live in Indianapolis. Sal, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm just enjoying you guys not knowing each other's names. That's all good.
Yeah, no, it's something that happens. You know,
I feel like, good about it.
I think it's almost an extra point tradition.
I feel good about
it. Yeah, listen, I think so when you're with somebody a lot, like you call them by... and then somebody else comes in, it's just a force of habit, right? You just kind of call them by the wrong name or the other person. So it happens for sure. At least you're not getting into fights at Starbucks, as far as I know.
There we go.
Yes.
That's where I wanted to start.
That is the greatest start to a segment of all time.
I want to talk about this so bad, but I want to know no information. I want to build the story myself.
I want to build the story myself.
You like the imagination more than the actual facts, right?
I want the
facts might be better than the imagination in this case. I have no idea. I've heard a lot of things about it, though. Last night we were out about and heard about this story at the Starbucks. So let me explain to you how it works so you guys know and get a picture here, all right? This will really help you there, Zach. So there's a really big convention city and there's tons of hotels here. But the hotel where most of the team employees and NFL employees stay is the JW Marriott. And at this JW Marriott, downstairs there's a bar called High Velocity. It's a really big bar area, and it's kind of the congregation meeting place for everybody every night. At some point, we all wind up there, and I'm talking, it's coaches, GMs, scouts, media members all over the place because everybody's, kind of vultures just trying to figure out and get information and go talk to people. But it's also great just to kind of meet up with people and network with people. It's a great area. It's a great spot. For example, last night I was out there down there with Josh Reed at Channel 4 and we were just hanging out right by kind of the area where the doors are. And instead of being at, there's two big bar areas and you can go to one or the other, but we were just kind of talking with people. And Josh looks at me and goes, this is actually the best spot to be because everybody's walking in and out. And sure enough, here comes Leslie Frazier. And it was so great. I hadn't seen Leslie. I saw him on the field in Seattle last year, but it was just super cool to just kind of catch up, talk to him, talk about life, talk about football. It was really cool, but that's what happens. Anyway, so that's where everybody is. Well, right above this on the second floor is a Starbucks. And that's where a lot of people go to get their coffee in the morning, of course, even in the evening. Like, it's just, hey, long day, you're going back to the hotel, you stop at the Starbucks, right? At the hotel. And there's also a lot of media members who hang out there just because a lot of the team executives go through there and they just want to say hi and talk to them and get information. Well, yesterday, we had this report from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports, who said Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford met at this ski resort in Montana, and Brady was like recruiting him. What was the word you used? Recruiting or hosting him or something. Well, not long after that, Ian Rappaport quote tweets that and says, they happened to be there at the same time and ran into each other. There was no recruiting or hosting. So Jordan Schultz comes back on Twitter and says, if you believe that, then I have a bridge to sell you. Well, then Rappaport doubles down and he's like, Tom Pelissero, I should say, who's Rappaport's colleague, kind of comes back and backs up Rappaport. And like, well, Don Yee, the agent for Brady, is like, no, like there was nothing going on there. They just met. And Rappaport backed that up with, they, like a lot of high profile people, they have homes in that area or they go skiing or something like that. So it was all full on. Let's go and debunk this from Jordan Schultz. Clearly, the agent, Don Yee, in this case, was trying to make out a paint a picture of, okay, my client didn't do anything wrong. He's not tampering, you know. And so apparently what happened was Rap was at Starbucks. Jordan Schultz comes into Starbucks. They see each other. There are words exchanged and maybe even a little bit more of a bowing up or something, right? Like, I don't think it got physical, but it got to the point where it could have been and it almost was. And because Ian Rappaport is an NFL employee, mm-hmm. that had to be reported to NFL security, who is now investigating.
Man,
I my headcanon is so much better for this because, like, this. I'm imagining that someone like jumps up to like one of the shell, like one of the counters where you're giving your coffee, and then just goes mm-hmm. flying elbow into someone else. Like, that's what's in my head, and I kind of just want that to be there forever.
For me, and Sal, I mean, you can speak on this too because you're around a lot of these reporters. I know Mike Shope has talked about a lot of this yesterday too. It's just like, I'm not going to take the word of Brady's agent as like, oh yeah, no, we like this was totally like serendipitous.
We didn't
crazy.
Do anything.
Montana,
wrong.
A notoriously small state. I mean, you could just run into anybody there.
Yeah. The funny thing was after that happened. I think it was Josh Norris. You guys know Josh, right? Underdog mm-hmm. Fantasy. Mm-hmm. I think it was Josh. I could be wrong. If you look back at his Twitter, it's probably him, I think. Who there's a picture of like five guys on a podcast, like just sitting around. And Josh wrote something like, hey, I randomly ran into these guys, so we did a podcast, right? It's kind of a funny joke.
So good.
Right? Like, oh, yeah, we're just randomly running in. Josh Reed and I were saying that. Like, yeah, we just randomly ran into each other at high velocity. Like, no, we were out together, obviously. But it's just so funny how this has been spun and the agents give the information because, Emily, let's be honest, this is the game that gets played, right? Where if Rap and Pelissero, you know, get the information from Don Yee, you know, this is the information, because later on, obviously, and throughout, you know, I'm sure their relationship, I'm sure that Don Yee's given them information, very good information about clients and deals, yeah. And this is how the game is played.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I get it. It is what it is. Some of the tweets can be like, oh, you just copied and pasted what they sent you. I get it. It's fine. It's just, mm-hmm. I'm with you, though, Sal. I saw your tweet yesterday. I want a Hard Knocks version of this so bad.
I was on this morning with Jeremy and Joe, and that's what happened. Jeremy, when I explained the same story I just did to Jeremy and Joe, and Jeremy said, okay, here's a great idea. Hard Knocks, High Velocity. I said, oh my God, that is amazing. Hard Knocks, High Velocity, Combine Week. Put a camera on the media and what goes on in the conversation and who's trying to talk to whom. And it's pretty wild, actually, guys, to be honest with you.
And this is what I've like become to love about the combine and stuff like that is I like everything that has nothing to do with on the field stuff. Like I've kind of stopped like worrying about the testing starts today. It's now in primetime windows. I think today the testing starts at 3:00. Could not care less. I will find the numbers I want later on Twitter. This is the stuff I like.
It's the true peaks and valleys of the combine testing that really end up like affecting draft stock. For example, you always remember DK Metcalf with the three cone. Or last year, Xavier Worthy breaking the record for the 40-yard dash. That affects draft stock. but typically it is about what's being reported, which you and the others amongst the media, Sal, you let us know when teams are talking to a certain athlete or, you know, anything of rumors going on about off-season ideals that the general managers want to go after. Those are the more interesting storylines, and it's never anything that's going on actually testing-wise.
Look at Matthew Stafford. He's kind of become, you know, he's not a draft guy, but now there's a real feeling he's going to be moved arguably quickly. Well, I mean, we'll see.
I think that's become maybe the number one story here this week, guys, is Matthew Stafford.
Is Stafford, who's talking to him, maybe tampering going on with the Raiders, which, like, come on. I'm so tired of Brady just, like, being able to kind of do whatever he wants. He can be a minority owner and can still broadcast with impunity, it seems, at bet points, even though he offers absolutely nothing, in my opinion, on the broadcast. Then we have this where, again, a notoriously small
because legally
state,
he can't.
Yeah, a notoriously small state in Montana. He just happens to run into Matthew Stafford.
You never know. You know, it's just the NFL is, honestly, it's the ultimate soap opera. It really is. It's live, real life, real time drama.
So good.
For 12 months of the year. Whether that's during the season and playing games or this time of year where you have the combine, you have free agency coming up in a few weeks, the deals are, you know, guys, I mean, we all know the worst kept secret in the NFL is, you know, even though you're not supposed to talk to agents before March 10th, that's happening this week, right? I mean, what happens. They see each other. You're not supposed to, but everybody knows. And that's where you get a sense. How did we know last year? I could tell you last year, like it was, or 2 years ago, I guess it was, whatever it would be. I came out of here knowing, like, okay, Tremaine Edmonds is getting paid by someone. Like, he's not going to be back in Buffalo. Like, it was just kind of, like, known because that's what happens. You talk, these agents are all here. You know what's changed, though? I'm going to tell you guys this because you're both college fans. I know you are very much, Zach. What's really changed, too, though, is, and I've run into quite a few people this week from the college world agent-wise, like the agents of college. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the guys going to the NFL now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the guys playing in college with NIL deals.
Well, I mean, look, now we're getting general managers. The Senior Bowl, Sal, is going to look radically different next year with Jim Nagy now going to Oklahoma. That's what it's going to be now. We've all kind of known the SEC, Big Ten, like those have essentially been developmental leagues for the NFL. Now the veil is off. Like, they're essentially the development league for the NFL. You will go where you will get playing time and where you can develop, where you will play the best competition. Me and Derek were talking about this yesterday when the Nagy stuff broke. There was always kind of like shadow GMs. It was just illegal to do.
Mm-hmm.
But now it legally is allowed to happen. It doesn't necessarily have to now be your biggest booster that was kind of the guy that was doing it. You know, if you've ever seen the 30 for 30, Sherwood Blunt for SMU was the guy.
Yep.
It's actually a position now, right? And look at all these teams. I mean, even Ron Rivera now is going back to college, right? Saying he's the GM, whatever his position there is, he's helping out. But think about these teams. I mean, Adrian Wojnarowski, it's amazing, right? GM of St. Bonaventure. It's actually a position. So a couple quick stories for you last night. Again, these are the things that happen when you're here. I was out with my buddy Josh Reed last night at Channel 4, and we happened to be, you know, at a place called Harry and Izzy's where a lot of people go. And all of a sudden, look over, and he sees a friend of his. He's known for a while, but we start talking. And through other people, we start meeting and happen to meet a person. I'm not going to say what school, but this person is at a high-profile school who is the person in charge of their NIL money. And I'm like, well, what a different world that is for you now. And he looked at me and goes, Sal, he said, my job now, all I do is take care of agents. I got to wine and dine these people because I have to keep my players.
Mm-hmm.
He said, these agents are just selling these. It's crazy. He said, so that's what I'm doing. It's every year. He said, I got to keep players. It's not even about the, you know, the guys leaving in the portal. Or getting guys from the portal. It's about keeping your own players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And literally said, that's my job now, just to make friends with these agents in college. It's incredible. And then I go over to High Velocity and I see a guy who happens to be a Bills fan. He goes, hey, Sal Capaccio, I know you. And I'm like, okay. Look, he's got a NCAA lapel. I'm like, you know, what do you do? He said, I work for the NCAA. He says, I'm in charge of some of the stuff that comes on with the NIL stuff. And we started talking, and he's like, there's nothing we can do about it right now. Every time there's a court case, we lose. Right? I mean, like, there's nothing it's wild, right? So, yeah, guys. I mean, that's what this week is about. It really is just so much of that stuff. It's such a drama-filled week in a lot of ways, but so good to get information and learn things. By the way, I'm going to sound like the old guy here. Do you guys know who Mike Mamula is? Do you ever hear that name?
Oh, I've heard the name, yeah.
Okay, well, you were talking about combine workouts. When you get a chance, look up Mike Mamula. He's a Lackawanna native, went to Lackawanna High School, and he played at Boston College. He was a good college player. He was one of the first people to ever actually specifically train for the combine and its drills.
Oh,
yeah. Went to the combine and completely dominated at the combine in these drills. And because of that, he was taken with the 7th overall pick by the Eagles and completely busted out.
Yep, he's in the league for 5 years, just with the Eagles,
yep.
out by the year 2000. And that is a thing that I think maybe gets lost now in the modern day, is that guys have to train for the combine. It is its own sort of thing, which is why now a lot of these guys, too, you will see, don't really do a lot of drills. I just saw now in a report that Mason Graham, the other defensive tackle from Michigan, only doing the bench press. That's the only thing he's doing.
Yep.
And it's because some of these guys are like, no, I'm going to get ready for the pro day, which is ultimately... We're going to put together the
nicest looking... A combine
with
more control.
Yeah, we're going to put together the nicest looking pitcher for our player to get them drafted. I remember...
It's a personalized combine for your players.
And I remember, I said this on the nightcap a few nights ago, I remember being awestruck when Teddy Bridgewater, coming out of Louisville, decided at his pro day, I'm going to take the gloves off and show everyone I can throw without the gloves. And it was a terrible pro day. And my whole thought, even at the time, I was a lot younger then, but even at the time I went... Dude, what are you doing? The whole point of this is like to make yourself like look the best you can. I wouldn't be surprised if at Wyoming's pro day, when Josh Allen was going out there, they specifically put some of these slowest receivers they had out there, Sal, to maybe try to get, you know, Josh like, hey guys, yeah, look what he's been working with, but look how far he can throw the ball. Just to build That's him really up that little bit more. That's what the pro days are. Is we're gonna make our guy look the best he possibly can. Where the combine,
it's really
there's so many random things being thrown around.
Yep.
How the game is played from a lot of different levels. So the other thing that's here this week, too, guys, is, you know, there's the testing. But I'm here to tell you, like, listen, the testing is the testing, and the numbers are the numbers. They're not. The teams that do it right, the teams that understand, now you get your guys like Mamula and other guys, but now they're to a point where people know these guys train. All the testing is confirmation now. So what happens is they'll go and they'll test. And I've been told by multiple people in front offices over the years, as long as there's nothing really weird about the testing, like a guy is way better or way worse than something we expected, then if that happens, they'll go back and recheck the tape. What did we miss here? Why was he so good there when we didn't think he would? Why was he so bad there when we didn't think? Otherwise, okay, it's the testing. And, you know, we expect this. What's really important here is the medical.
Yes.
They do these physicals with these doctors who are, there's a pool of doctors they do the medical with, and they get these reports on these guys. And then each team gets 60 interviews. The Bills are meeting with a lot of defensive linemen. They're meeting with a lot of safeties. That's great because those are positions that they need. Receivers, right? They don't, we'll see who's saying they're meeting with them or not.
Right.
But they don't have to meet with a lot of offensive linemen. Not a position of need. They don't have to meet with quarterbacks. Not a position of need. So you can focus your attention on these other positions, but those... That's where the stuff matters here. It's the medical and it's the interviews. You get 15 minutes with 60 different players over the week. In those interviews, you can structure them however you want. You could have in that room whatever people to ask, the coordinators, the coaches. The Bills actually have their team psychologist in that room with them. She asks a couple questions at the end of the interview, whereas some people do not ask questions. They do have their psychologist. They don't have their psychologist. It's just totally different. And I know this because one of the prospects told us this, you know, that he was in there. And that happened. So everybody treats this totally different. That's what's so fascinating.
Yeah, it's still not a perfect science, but it is so cool how much the draft process for teams has changed from even just, you know, 15, 20 years ago, where a guy like Ryan Leaf, you know, had a lot of character issues, didn't matter, cared all about the physical stuff. Now you're getting, you know, potentially out-of-pocket questions in interviews just to see a guy's reaction. It's really, really cool what it's become.
Agreed.
Sal, we know we got to get you out of here. You got to catch a flight. We'll see you soon, man. Have a great flight. Thanks for coming on with us.
You got it, guys. I know you guys have it in there, and you know, if the fans, if you want to play for the fans, really good stuff with Chris Sims yesterday. I talked with him about Josh Allen winning the MVP, so we have that and a couple other things in there if you guys want to get to that today. But thanks a lot. Great week this week, and I'll be back, and I'll be on tomorrow.
Happy flight, no fight.
Thanks, guys.
That was Sal Quaccio there on the Wester Hotline. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm glad everyone came to my defense without knowing the context that I was up till like 4 in the morning. That's the key.
Oh, no. I didn't even care about that.
My first
comment when you said not my name was, he'd been doing this all season. Like, Josh was sitting in front of you over here all season. So it's perfectly normal.
But
now that said, I think we should stare at Owen next.
Is Owen still here?
Yes.
There he is.
Yep. Everyone stare at Owen.
He can't even hear us.
He can't even hear us. That's the best part about this.
No idea.
No idea what's going on.
Oh, there Josh it is. Told him there it is.
Snitch! Don't make me Jordan Schultz you.
Jordan Schultz. Real quick on that, I do want to talk more on the draft process. It is something where, like, I could totally understand why someone like Schultz, who is, over, like, I would probably say the last 2 years, really built himself up into one of the most credible insiders in the NFL.
Yes.
No matter how you feel about that position, Schultz has gotten to a point where
Schultz has worked his way up.
Yes. And I mentioned it, and I wanted to make sure I mentioned it. There are times, and Adam Schefter's another one, but you know, we'll use Rapoport here because he's in the story. There are times where it does feel, I'm not saying it is, but it does feel like it is just copied and pasted from an agent, from a team, what have you. It feels like, not again, not saying it definitely is, but it feels like he's just doing the team's PR work for him. And I can understand where somebody like Schultz is going, dude, you make us look bad.
Yeah.
By not reporting the whole story. They met up in Montana. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
and
no,
it was just serendipitous. It just happened to happen.
Yeah,
crazy.
That's, and again, that
especially when Brady has a history of, number one, not, you know, playing fairly, but also just flat out, you know, what would the word be, tampering with the Dolphins.
Wait, you're
they
telling
lost a draft pick talking to him.
You're telling me that a guy who has tampered with an NFL team, deflated footballs, and been part of a spying procedure,
yeah,
is all of a sudden, it's all hunky-dory?
And he gets the benefit of the doubt. And to be perfectly honest,
no
it's,
way.
It's incredibly embarrassing for Brady's agent to come to his defense like, dude, your word means absolutely zero here.
Yeah.
If anything, it makes it look more like my client did do something. I'm here to do damage control because a reporter actually called us out on it.
And
it's embarrassing.
If we want to get technical here, Schultz is also sticking up for a coworker. They both work for Fox.
No.
Or no. Actually, it's the opposite. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Rappaport sticking up for the NFL, for the Shield and everything like that. Mm-hmm. That's Schultz attacking a coworker, so to say.
Yeah.
As they both work for Fox.
Because I think in reality,
I got caught up on the fact that they're both Fox Sports employees.
But I think a part of it is, too, is Brady, you're being brazen about it. Like, enough. And also,
you're telling me the guy that hired a GM named Spytek is not...
So good.
Yep.
Also, real quick.
The jokes write themselves, but I'm here to say them, okay?
Real quick on the Stafford thing, too, and this is really my last thought on this. Is it really a good idea to go get a guy who's, like, contemplated retirement routinely the last 2 years? Is it really? Especially in the AFC West, where let's not act like you're right there. You're just a quarterback away. You're not.
You're not.
And Stafford, and I like Stafford a lot, but it's really helped him that he's been in the NFC. Where there isn't a ton of great quarterbacks. It's very good teams, not many great quarterbacks. He all of a sudden goes into a division with Mahomes, Nicks, and Herbert.
Oh, my God.
That might be one of the better divisions quarterback-wise from top to bottom in the NFL.
And even just team-wise.
Like
Chargers have a stanky defense.
Yeah.
The Broncos have a talented defense and an offense that I would say is capable of a lot more growth heading into next year.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City's Kansas City.
But it feels like a team. And this is why I think the Giants are the perfect ones for Stafford. You're desperate. And everyone knows it, and that's fine. You really probably shouldn't have your job right now.
But the Giants are also a roster that is not a quarterback away.
No, but for the job point, I mean, it's like I can totally buy why Shane and Dable would be desperate to get Stafford. They need to be competitive now. They probably won't be. You're right. They're not a quarterback away, but they need to make a move that signifies that they're ready to play ball with the big kids. Again, they're not. The Raiders, you just hired a new staff, a new GM. Why hamstring yourself to a 36-year-old quarterback who, again, has flirted with retirement routinely the last 2 years? Also, what's in the water with the Rams? Why is everyone there play around with retirement for like a year and a half, 2 years? Donald did it. McVay still kind of does it.
He contemplated
it. Stafford does it.
It's the LA life.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that where they're like,
That's what it is.
Good, dude. Like, I woke up. My view's beautiful. The beach is right there.
Do I really need to get hit in the pocket?
Yeah, yeah. Do I need to work, you know, 90-hour work weeks in the off season if I'm McVay? Like, maybe I don't. I've got my Super Bowl. I'm good. I don't know.
Can I just retire on top?
I find the Stafford thing to be, like, way less interesting, mainly because I don't think he really does. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's not. But it is sort of in that same vein where I'm like, does that really help you guys, or is it just like a nice offseason?
Are we sure this
points?
Is a good idea?
Yeah. And I'll say the same thing for Darnold. Don't get me wrong. I think where you need to go is young quarterback, develop, rookie deal and get a guy with high-end traits. But I can at least argue for Tennessee, you're in a bad division. Darnold did show a lot. And you'll have the number one overall pick. Let's say they take Travis Hunter, because now a lot of the rumors from Indy has been actually that he's like the number one receiver on most people's boards. They just may not be comfortable playing him at both positions.
Right.
He may have to do kind of like, you know, spot duty here, wide receiver, but full-time corner. Tennessee, though, might be like, yeah, but if we get Darnold with him, you know, with our defensive line that we feel pretty good about.
Will
Levis took us out of a number of games early last year.
I still love the idea of the Titans trading down. Getting themselves an extra third-round pick so that they can get some more selections in the top 100.
I'm with you on that. Especially, too, like you look at somebody like Abdul Carter, who it now seems like the medical reports like he may not actually have to have surgery, but it's still like out there. Maybe they are like, ooh, perfect. We can now trade down.
We can drop to 3 or 4 and get an edge rusher.
And he'll still be there, you know, because of the quote-unquote medical concerns. We don't really know if there are massive medical concerns, because it sounds like even if he gets the surgery now, he'll be ready to go by minicam.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it's his rookie year's goal.
Everything's shaping up.
Yep. 803-0550, the number 2 call. Testing does start today at the NFL Combine. Of course, because it has now become popular, it's in prime time. Defensive linemen, linebackers, today testing gets going at 3 p.m., or at least televised testing will get going at 3 p.m. today. The Sabres are also in action down in Carolina to take on the Hurricanes. They've not won at Carolina since 2016, but the Sabres are on an incredibly hot run as of now. They're still not very close to a playoff spot, but they're at least making themselves interesting. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I did mention there a little bit that there was seemingly a bit of an update on the Abdul Carter situation. Late last night, it was reported that through the testing. Sal mentioned it when he met with us. Like, the really big thing here is the medical testing. Something popped up with him. And now, this is about an hour ago, this is from Adam Schefter. Doctors told Penn State defensive end and projected number one overall pick, Abdul Carter, that after further scans on his right foot, surgery is not advisable. Carter will work out at his March 28th pro day at Penn State. Quote, I cannot be more confident that there will be a non-factor when he's drafted. Carter's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, said today he will put on a show at his pro day, which, of course, as we've mentioned, that's sort of become where a lot of these guys will actually work out. There's a lot less variables. The schedule is much more regimented. It is not as intense. Sal mentioned it, too. These teams get 60 interviews, and many of them, you know, we're seeing with the Bills now, the Bills are grabbing essentially every defensive lineman that's there, every cornerback and safety that is there, and really going from there. And for a lot of these guys, a lot of teams are doing the exact same thing. So they're, you know, half testing, half getting ready, you know, staying loose, and then they're trying to fly up to meetings, and then they've got this medical test, which that could be, you know, we've all been to a doctor's office. That could be a whole adventure.
Yep. And we've all been to a doctor's office.
You know, and then here, to perfect example.
Too real.
Look what the testing has become, too. The testing used to be in the morning. Now, it's an all-day event. You are meeting with the media, you know, yesterday. Then today, we just mentioned all that stuff. And then now later, you will have workouts most of the day. And as many of us have mentioned, for a lot of these guys, wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks even, you run a bad 40 time, that baby sticks with you forever, positive or negative.
Yeah.
It sticks with you forever. You mentioned it with DK Metcalf. He runs a bad 3-cone because someone gave him bad advice on running it.
And he went in the third round.
Yeah, and you brought it up too. The DK Metcalf combine, I remember, was how much of a roller coaster it was, because he comes in, he's this huge human being. I mean, you know, physically off the charts. His 40 time is unbelievable. And then the 3-cone happens, and it was this immediate, like, you know, and you saw it last year with guys like Brian Thomas Jr. and Nye Mitchell. You know, there'd be one test or one stat that they're grouped with like a bunch of bad receivers, and you're like, that's the one. That's the stat that tells me they're not going to be successful. For Metcalf, it was the 3-cone, that he was grouped with a lot of bad, slow receivers, and it was like, he's never going to be able to reach that 4-3 speed. Why are we even doing this? And it probably cost him to be, what, the last pick of the second round?
Yeah.
You know, it
was nearly third-round pick.
That's why a lot of these guys don't end up testing at the combine. It's not advantageous for them. Now, some of these guys that are going to be from smaller schools or, you know, here, perfect example, Xavier Worthy. You run a good 40 time, you are in the first round. you are getting paid a couple more million dollars than you would have if you ran a 4.39 40-yard dash. Or even at your pro day where no one's really paying attention. Instead, he does that at the combine. He's the star of the combine because he breaks a record that, you know, was standing forever. And he's a first-round pick right at the end, but he's a first-round pick. And that's for a lot of these guys. It's the same why you're seeing some quarterbacks throw, but not others. The last number one overall pick at quarterback to throw at the combine, Derek, was Baker Mayfield in 2018. And if you remember, I mean, we all remember that draft class. There was not a consensus on who the number one pick was, especially at quarterback.
That is true.
Where now, Shador and Cam, I think, can only hurt themselves by throwing. If you have a bad day at the combine, that could be all the difference in a relatively weak quarterback class.
Yeah, I'm great at starting sentences there. When it came down to it, when Mayfield did that, it was an attempt to raise draft stock, take that risk, and really have a chance when you were in a slugfest with, quite frankly, two or three other people for being the top quarterback selected.
Yeah, they all were fighting to, weird.
Save for Jackson.
Yeah.
They were all fighting to be the first quarterback taken.
Yeah, weirdly by, you know, Cleveland. You're all fighting to go to Cleveland. I'd never heard that in my life. But, well, here we are.
I mean, Mayfield made that work.
That's right. But, you know, I don't...
He wanted it.
I haven't seen for sure.
It made sense.
Yeah, I haven't seen for sure, but I think Milroe's throwing at the combine as well. Of course him and, you know, him, Jackson Dart, Quinn Ewers, of course they're throwing at the combine. You've mentioned a lot. A team late in the first round wanted that fifth-year option on a quarterback, and all it takes maybe a good day at the combine and your pro day throwing-wise from guys that maybe were up and down this year.
That's all you need.
It's all you need.
Any sort of way to bump the draft stock. You're taking a risk doing this because if you look terrible, you're going to be a day three pick.
But a lot of these guys are like,
take a shot.
Take a shot. I need shot in the arm. We talk about it a lot with the Sabres. I need a shot in the arm. Some of these guys, that's what this is.
If you're able to boost the stock, take a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like that there are, like, for your safer prospects, it's like, yeah, we're going to make them the best option possible. We're going to make them look the best that we can at a pro day. Because there's more control to what you can do, who you bring in, and chemistry and familiarity with drilling is important there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are desperate for a way to find any sort of advantage, any sort of boost, you take that chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also do the pro day where you are able to make better fits. So I do not mind that more players are not doing all of the testing at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, as you said, it's the off-field that is truly mattering more these days anyway.
Yeah, all the
it
good
is the anomalies.
Too. Yeah, all the good performances will do is, as Sal put it, it's going to force teams to go back and look at the tape. Which, if you leave with a good impression, it may be, yeah, you know, all right, we can work on that. We can fix that. Where if you have a bad performance, it goes, all right, that's not changing.
If there was a bad performance, it's what are we missing? Why did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And you're now looking for nitpicks. If you do something well at the combine, you are looking for, okay, you're looking for the extra pieces that you were missing.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to find a positive. So it has to do with mindset as well. And that's why when it's got to be a catastrophically bad performance at a combine for it to really garner people's attention and affect draft stock that way.
Because
now you're looking at nitpicks.
Yeah, we have seen disastrous. I'm blanking on anything that come to mind. I usually only remember the good ones. But, I mean, there have been combine performances where you're like, oh, well, that's not good.
And for me, that starts with the most memorable one for me is DK.
Mm-hmm. For positive and negative, yeah.
Metcalf has such a bad three cone that he ends up in the second round.
Mm-hmm. Michigan defensive tackle Kenneth Grant was found during the combine medical evaluations to have a hamstring strain. He won't be participating in on-field drills today. Rooting for his health, but
that's going to affect draft stock.
That may affect. Well, look, he was a guy who mentioned I'm running a 4.8 in the 40 at 345 pounds.
Now, oh,
we literally
man.
Will not know now.
Teams are like, ah, I get to miss that.
It could be something.
Hey, you know what? Good. Good that it's being missed.
Again, I'm not rooting for injuries, but that was something I was thinking about coming in this morning is like, if he can't blow up the combine, his name kind of just goes into the shuffle. Maybe a Shamar Stewart, who is an athletic freak out of A&M,
yep,
blows up the combine today. Now he's the guy you keep hearing about, like he's the first round talent. He's the, you know, the surprise pick of the first round. And a guy like Grant, who most of his college career was a Robin, can continue to kind of be that. I'm just saying. I'm not rooting for it.
I love how you're rationalizing.
But well,
this is your guy. This is your draft.
It's totally my guy.
This is your first round draft crush.
It's totally my guy. This is the fastest, by the way, I've found. Like,
you've identified a player that you are ready for.
Yeah.
And this is the part where I can always appreciate being friends with you. That you will say some unhinged stuff.
Absolutely.
Particularly off air about these sorts of things.
Yep.
And being able to ask you questions like that is fun to me. And I'm just like, hey, guess what? Kenneth Grant.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I text reporters of the Bills going, like, tell them. I'll pick them up at the airport when the Bills draft them.
Yep.
Do it. Got a response.
Exactly.
It was, we'll pick them up at the airport.
There you go.
So, I've got a group going.
You also got a new phone. Who dis?
Yeah, well, that's – but I knew that was coming. So, it wasn't legitimate. It wasn't the bad one. I knew it was coming.
But it still happened.
It still happened.
It's
my,
not...
my heart broke just a little. Just a hair.
You're just like,
Just a hair. It's fine. But Sal brought this up too, is the medical reports. This is maybe the most important thing. And there will also be some teams that don't love that he had a hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
Those typically become something that does happen a lot in your career. If you get one, two in college, it's like, okay, here we go.
Got to keep the hammies loose.
And the Bills may be one of those teams that go, I don't love that.
Yep.
I don't love that. I want a clean bill of health coming into the NFL.
Because the Bills oftentimes do not take players with injury concerns.
Mm-hmm. So, look, I'm sitting here going, like, this could be great for the Bills. The Bills also could be going, like, we'll take somebody else. Derek Harmon out of Oregon is another guy. Not getting a lot of first-round love, but the Bills pick at 30. So you're going to get more guys that maybe are in the second round, what have you. 803-0550, number to call if you want to jump in on this conversation, talking combine. We'll talk Sabres as well throughout the day. Let's get connected to, though, our fans brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Anthony joins us today. Anthony, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of watching, you know, the combine and whatnot. I mean, it's fun to watch and it's, you know, fun to see these guys compete. But, you know, the less of these players that are throwing and following and doing the drills, you know, as a competitor, I feel like, you know, you would want to show everybody that you are the top dog. You're the guy. You need to take me. You know, I feel like a confidence level is important in a situation like that because, yeah, okay, you have a bad day, but you go back in your pro day and then you can show everyone exactly what's going on. You know, everyone has a bad day. So I just like the competitive end of it where, you know, you keep throwing, you keep playing, and it's just you just show everybody that you're a competitor and you want to be the best. So that's kind of where I'm at with the whole combine. I'm not sure. I know you guys, you know, I know the consensus now is everyone's not throwing and, you know, the less they do, the better, you know, for their stock. But, you know, I don't know. As a competitor, I just feel like you just want to have, you have that burning desire to be in the league and you want to show everybody that you are the guy. So that's what I'm going to say, guys. Have a great day. And as Josh Allen says, be good, do good. God bless and go Bills.
Anthony, man, thanks for the call. I can totally understand the idea of wanting the competitive juice. Look, as somebody that was very competitive in my athletic career, I specifically wanted some events I wasn't good at to try to beat people because it was like a notch on my belt. Like, and I agree with that. There is, though, something to it now of the calculated risk. What do I gain from this? You know, let's go back to those, because we're talking about throwing at the combine. Let's go back to some of those quarterbacks. What does Trevor Lawrence gain from throwing at the combine?
Yeah.
He's already the consensus number one overall pick.
When you are considered, and typically you tend to know when you're talking to your agent, you have a sense of where you're going to end up at.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there are ways that the stock falls and rises. And you're typically told, yeah, you're going to gain nothing from this. You can lose more.
Yeah.
And when the risk outweighs the benefit, for anyone in society, you are human. If you hear that, you tend to...
It changes your attitude.
You tend to shy away.
Yeah.
So.
You know, it's you look at this year's draft class with Shedeur and
Cam. Hey, you have a chance to only lose money on this.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good.
I'm good. I'm good.
Thank you. I appreciate you looking out for me. I wanted to do it, but you told me that all I can do here is lose money.
And especially, and to the caller's point, bringing up the pro day, a lot of scouts now do know what the pro day is.
They flock to pro days.
But
it also makes it easier on the scouts.
Well, it makes it easier on the scouts.
Because now you don't have to watch everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to a pro day for players that you are interested in. But say there's players within the school that, like, you've only got a couple of, like, corners. And there's teams that are like, I'm not really in the market for secondary this year.
Right.
I don't need to go to this. So you don't have to send representation. So it saves you time. Time that you're now scouting on your guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it may sound more individualistic, but it is more effective. And it is more focused.
Yeah.
The way pro days are done, there is control for the player's side. But there's also efficiency from the team side. You do not have to go and watch all these pro days. You don't have to spend your time watching everyone at the combine.
No,
and sit there and wait for all these players before you get to the guys that you want to see. Mm-hmm. You can go to where you want to for what you want. And it is more efficient that way. And therefore, you are going through your draft prospects with a fine-tooth comb.
Yep. But again, to the risk-reward, I mentioned Teddy Bridgewater already. That was his pro day. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine his agent advised him to take the gloves off, even if teams were asking.
Yep.
Don't give them an inch. This is a process where they will miss more than they hit. So, you know, we mentioned too with these guys,
yeah,
you want to leave them with a positive impression, but this is also a job where they, you know, they are going to miss far more than they hit. So you give them any negative impression, they will probably move off of you. It's why, like, the medicals are so important. Guys like Abdul Carter and Kenneth Grant, neither of these injuries are going to hold them back from any bit of their rookie season. But there may be a team that goes, nope, we need a clean bill of health.
Yep.
And we cannot operate with you having a hamstring strain or potentially surgery on your foot. 803-0550, the number to call. When we come back, Chris Sims sat down with Sal Capace. You heard him talking about it here when he was on with us about 45 minutes ago. We'll listen back to that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a rainy Thursday here at our Amherst studio. But we will go back to Indianapolis as Sal Capace met with Chris Sims yesterday. Here is that interview.
Chris Sims joining me here from the NFL Combine. All right, Josh Allen finally wins the hardware, the MVP. Your thoughts on watching that happen?
Well, I was very happy, right? I mean, honestly, I was shocked. Like, it was one of those where at the Super Bowl, I was in my room, and I had it on, and I saw him go up, and I was like, wait, is this the MVP? Like, what? He won the MVP? Because, I mean, of course, usually it goes to the guy that won first-team All-Pro, which was Lamar Jackson. I know I voted for Josh Allen. You know, Lamar Jackson's awesome. Don't get me wrong. Josh Allen's awesome. They're two of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't hold that, you know, lightly. But to me, this year, with the way Josh Allen played, when you just talk about what it means to be the most valuable player, I don't think there's a player that's more important to their team in all of football than Josh Allen, right? He affects their win-loss record. The style of play in which they play is all because of Josh Allen. And for me, when the MVP is not only embodies that, but moments. And Josh Allen had a run from like mid-November to mid-December where he was the number one story in the league for like 6 weeks in a row. We went, did you believe what Josh Allen did Sunday and the Sunday night? And oh my gosh, it was one game after another. And Lamar Jackson, as awesome as his year was, hey, his team was really good. He had an all-time running back. He had a better support system. Things were a little easier for him. And I'm not taking it away from Lamar. I'm just saying the set of circumstances were harder for Josh Allen. And, of course, he showed us that he was capable of handling that.
And it's okay to have someone first-team All-Pro and another guy MVP because they are two distinctly different types of awards.
It's odd. Like, it's not something I would do, right? I mean, to me, but I can understand the argument, right? I can understand, hey, we think this guy played quarterback really well the whole year and played the position of quarterback maybe better than anybody else. But this guy was the most valuable player to his team and did maybe the most wow things through the year. That's where I can see that argument. That would be weird for me, right? But I think in the two instances we're talking about it, that it happened, like in 87 with Joe Montana and John Elway, it was very similar. It was like, hey, Joe Montana's, it's like symphony watching him play quarterback. But the Broncos wouldn't even be in the Super Bowl if it weren't for John Elway. Like, are we kidding me? Like, nobody could have brought the Broncos to the Super Bowl except for John Elway. So I think it was a little bit of that, and that's the kind of talent he has. He has all-time great talent, Josh Allen.
And then before I let you go, there's still a thought that maybe he still could use another field stretcher, a guy that can maybe have some more explosive plays. The Bills are going to this everybody-eats mentality. He wins MVP without Stephon Diggs, but how important is it to have that one guy late in the game? Maybe they didn't have that in the AFC Championship
game. They don't have that on either side of the ball. And that's right. Where they're not in the class of the great teams in the league right now, right? And that's why he's so valuable, because he's the greatest thing going. Now, is the support system, I thought this year was the best he's had, because at least he had the running back and the James Cook, and there was a good group of receivers. To me, I always thought Stephon Diggs and the Gabe Davis combination, other than maybe the first year they were there together, was so overrated. I mean, what did Gabe Davis do last year?
Oh, not much.
Exactly right. Stephon Diggs, like, it's good, but you even saw before he hurt his knee in Texans. Nobody's double-teaming him anymore. Nobody's going – he's not like, oh, no, he's going deep, Stephon Diggs. The defensive coordinator's up all night because he's worried about Stephon Diggs. No, but I do think they need another playmaker, yes. I don't know where it happens. I like a lot of what they have, but they don't have a guy on either side of the ball in big moments like Kansas City does with Chris Jones or other great teams. The Eagles got 10 of them, right, that can make a play that goes beyond what the coaches are asking for. And that's, to me, they're just the one spot they need to get figured out.
And they've even kind of said that in their own way. So do you think they should at least do whatever they can to investigate in a Myles Garrett, a Max Crosby, a Micah Parsons, someone, if they could shake loose?
Yeah, sure. It's just, you know, you don't want to ruin your whole team and ruin the next 3 years of your team just for one player. You know, that's the tough thing. And that's what they're going to have to figure out, the asking price and all of that as well. This is a good draft for rushers, right? They got a few things they got to figure out that are important. I mean, Von Miller, what they're going to do with that. See, again, there's another instance, though, of your highest paid player on defense can't be non-existent in big moments. That is a recipe for, no, you're not that good, right? And that's the problem. And I'm not taking anything. Von Miller's one of the greatest of all times, but we know right now he's not that. And that's where they got to figure some things out with their whole salary cap.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Always appreciate your time.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it.
Yo, what up? How are you?
That was Chris Sims with our own Sal Capaccio, who is on his way back to Buffalo as testing begins at the NFL Combine. If you did miss it, one of my draft crushes, Michigan defensive tackle Kenneth Grant. Medicals showed he had a hamstring strain. Was hoping to push through it to potentially participate today in the testing. He will not, though, again, with a hamstring strain. Does not appear to be anything too serious. Can talk a little Sabres, though, after a quick timeout. It's a fun night for the Carolina Hurricanes, doing a little bit of throwback. We'll talk about that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.